What are you trying to say with that hum, Bri?
It's over, bro.
That's it?
I'm done. We still have to do a show, but I'm done.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
Here we are. Welcome to the show. B. Comp and Carver here with you in Midtown Manhattan. We're going to speak with at Culture of Losing, how apropos, Dan Saraceni in
sure
just a few minutes.
Right now.
We're going to talk about another defenseman going down, Dennis Seidenberg, who had been so good. He's out. But Travis Hamonic is back, Mike. That went well last night.
That was a surprise. That came out of nowhere.
I know people were screaming, oh, how could they bring him back too soon, blah, blah, blah. Look, they've invested millions of dollars into Travis Hamonic. If he wasn't ready to play, he wasn't playing.
I understand that. The guy had a broken thumb. He still has a broken thumb. Am I correct on that?
As far as I know.
I know we're not allowed in the NHL to talk about injuries. But he clearly has something wrong with his thumb or his wrist, whatever the problem is. He played. I mean, he did what he can. He can't shoot.
No,
he can't shoot the puck.
No.
So that seems like a problem when you're a defenseman that you can't shoot the puck. But
on a team that can't score a goal.
He's toughing it out. You got to give him credit for that, I suppose. When he gets hurt, even worse, sometime in the next week or two, I'm sure that we'll be saying a different story, that he shouldn't have been playing. But Travis is a tough guy. He's getting in there, and he's trying to make things happen. He's trying to do anything possible because there's absolutely nothing that can fix this team right now. They suck. Let's just put it that way.
Mike, I walked into the room after the game Monday night.
Yes.
4-0 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
A lot of smiles
home. No smiles.
No smiles?
Outscored 14-2 in three games against Tampa Bay. So we know how wide the gap is between the Lightning and the Islanders. It's enormous.
14-2 over those three games over the last 2 weeks, whatever it is.
Brutal.
Every game embarrassing. They have no business being on the same ice with that team.
It's bad.
They don't. I can't believe that they played that team in the second round of the playoffs last year. That's how this looks right now.
And I brought it up to Travis Hamonic after the game, and he said, "Bri, you know, we can't talk about last year. It's over. We all have to move on."
Sure is.
But the feeling that I got from talking to John Tavares and Travis Hamonic last night, and they're never going to admit it because they're good guys and they're trying to do the best they can with what they have there. But I think they know now that they're not good enough.
No, they're not.
And when you know that, you have no chance.
Listen, I screamed about this. I didn't think the team was as good. I didn't think they were going to be this bad either. I didn't think the team was as good as last year, but they are marketably worse than the team that played the Lightning in May. Tavares, you talked about talking to the guys last night.
Yeah.
I was watching it, obviously. I wasn't there. And Johnny, after the game, looked like somebody who, you know, somebody kicked his dog on the front lawn.
Mike, he looks miserable.
And then he just needed to get in the car and drive for about 3 days and just get away from everything. He looked so beat down and defeated. And he's the captain. He's going to sit there. He's going to answer the questions. But, oh, Johnny wanted no part of anybody last night. And he looked just like a beaten man after that game. It was terrible.
And I know the fan base wants Jack Capuano out. I get it.
Well, it's because he should be out.
And I think that's coming. Look, we're recording this Tuesday morning. There's a chance in an hour and a half that the change could be made and we're going to have to either do another pod or come back tomorrow.
I think that 98% of our listeners are hoping that happens.
But for me, I thought about this the whole train ride home last night after I went to BWW to watch the end of the Giant game.
Well, B-dubs.
So at least there, I got one good team going
here.
Look
at you. Must be nice.
But anyway, I think Garth deserves the bulk of the blame for this because they never replaced Franz. You go back to training camp, waving P.A. Parenteau was a complete joke because they threw away 50 points. I said it when they did it. I'm saying it now. They took 50 points off a team that can't score goals and threw it out the window with no replacement. And now here we are, 6 weeks later, John Tavares is playing with Josh Bailey and Cal Clutterbuck on the top line.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, Mike.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I'm going to take another shot at a couple guys. Last week, I'm going to stick with my statement that Brock, Strome, and Lee are the reason for this because I think
Brock to a lesser degree, but
no,
yeah.
No, yes, all three of them.
I know you're down on Brock, but I think it's more two than Brock. I think it's the other two more than Brock.
They put too much stock in those three guys. I beat that to death.
I know.
Here's my guys this week. Ladd and Chimera have done zero, nothing, zilch.
Well, here's the thing with Ladd. I'm glad you brought up
zero.
The Islanders are paying Andrew Ladd $5.5 million a year. Even if he's not scoring with Tavares, which he didn't, Mike, you sink or swim with Andrew Ladd on the top line.
How is he not playing with Tavares?
You can't expect him to be a 20 to 25 goal scorer playing full time with Casey Cizikas. It's never going to happen. If Andrew Ladd is going to get going, and I hope he does because they need him to, he's got to play with John Tavares.
I don't understand. I agree with you on that. But he's done nothing.
Agreed.
And you want to say it's because the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he hasn't been playing with Johnny. He had no time to even bond with Johnny.
They
in
had
preseason.
One game together
they
in played the preseason, one game. Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Your professional hockey players go out there and play.
I agree.
And Chimera, let me tell you about
nothing.
Him.
I know.
I heard about it, you know, one of the fastest. This guy looks like he's got bricks in his skates. Are you watching this guy? Oh, one of the fastest skaters in the league. He looks like he's not even moving
and
out there.
And what's more alarming for me, Mike, he's one of the guys. He's got to be the oldest guy on the team. He's 37 years old. Why are these veterans taking dumb penalties? You can't take penalties against the Lightning, who have one of the best power plays in the league. You
the
can't
Lightning
do
embarrassed
it.
Them.
They're not these older guys. They're not setting an example for these younger kids. Nothing is going right for this hockey team right
it's
now.
It's hard to do this.
It's bad.
Off of back-to-back 100-point seasons. But I think we've reached a point, and if you're John Ledecky and you said, what am I looking at here? I think that, and like you say, I think that Garth has to take a lot of the blame
here.
He has
to.
I'd clean the house, get them all out personally, because I don't think it's fair to just get rid of Jack and not Garth. I think they both should go. I think they both have done a bad job.
Okay.
Garth did a bad job in July.
Yes, he did.
Jack's done a bad job in October and November. I said last week, I don't want to just change for change's sake and put in guys that are going to do the same things. Doug Waite, Greg Cronin.
I thought it was Doug Waite.
Or Brent Thompson. But unfortunately, I think that something is going to have to happen here, and I don't want to see those guys coach the team. But I don't – when the team looks lifeless –
that's on
like
the coach.
Like they have.
That's on the coach.
It's on the head coach.
Yes.
And the head coach has to go. I thought it would be through the Thanksgiving break. I don't know if they can wait that long anymore.
They can't.
Pittsburgh at home, three games out west in California.
Do it now. You have a couple of days before the Penguins come in, and God knows how that game's going to go because the Penguins are the defending champs.
And they're whipping teams right now.
So.
And the Islanders just. Here's the thing. They're not even in most of these games.
They were in the game for 18 minutes Monday night.
Yeah.
And then the wheel went, once they got the opening goal, the game was over. Mike, it should have been 3-0. Kucherov almost scored with 5 seconds left.
And I find it hard to believe that Jack Capuano is the one making the decision to start Yaroslav Halak for 6 games in a row.
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, that's just... Do you really believe that?
This goes back to what you said about Garth, how he didn't have a good July.
He did not have a good July. But he had a putrid July.
But he's compounded it with the September and October that he had.
Right.
By waving Parento, by insisting on keeping three goalies. Poor J.F. I know I say this all the time. J.F. Berube, and E.J. Raddick brought it up on the NHL Network a couple weeks ago. J.F. Berube's career has been hijacked by Garth Snow.
Yeah.
He's never going to play. 2 years now, this poor kid is not going to play. It's ridiculous. And that decision to keep a third goaltender either cost Parento a job or Matthew Barzal got 2 games and was sent back.
I'll give you another one. And we're just piling on more and more complaints. Why is Beauvillier playing 8.5 minutes last night or whatever it was?
I don't understand.
What's the point in that?
I don't understand.
What are we doing here?
I don't understand it.
Why did you keep him?
It's bad, Mike.
What's the purpose?
There is not one positive that I can. The one positive out of the first 6 weeks of the season was Dennis Seidenberg, and now he's out indefinitely.
I'll tell you this: they're going to wish they kept Barzal here, and because Barzal and Beauvillier, by January 15th, they're going to get to play 20 minutes a night. because this team is going to be so far out of the playoffs the way they're going,
yeah,
that they're going to wish they kept Barzal around just to watch them for the second half.
It's bad.
It's a bad scene right now.
I don't understand getting back to the roster. And this is why John Tavares is miserable, at least to me. If he's not.
That guy needs a long ride in a pickup truck, man.
He is miserable.
Needs to just get on the road.
Mike, he was drafted in 2009, and here we are. 7 years later, he still does not have a wing to play with.
Yeah.
7 years.
It's funny.
The guy who came the closest was Vanek, and that lasted 3 months.
They gave your boy Ladd plenty of money to do that.
But, hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hello,
hey,
Dan.
What's going on?
How are you?
Hi, Dan.
All right.
I think Dan hung up. He doesn't even want to talk to us.
I'm a little afraid to wait in here. I heard you guys were fired up, so I got to be ready.
Dan, we're always fired up. But I think that we've all got reason to be more fired up this point than we have in a long time, because as your Twitter handle says, the culture of losing is back, my friend. It sure is, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly felt like it. I was at that game yesterday. Brian was, and yep. I haven't seen a game like in a long time. I mean, I was at a lot of games during the Mike Must Go era that we all remember pretty well, and it was just it had the air of there's something bad that's going to happen, and even during the first 15 minutes, as Arthur Staples said. But the Islanders were playing okay. I mean, it was boring, but hey, they weren't losing.
Right.
You just got the sense that something bad was going to happen. And man, when JT Brown scored that goal, all bets were off. It was just like, well, that's that. And then, you know, by the end of the first period, the game was essentially over. I mean, from a fan atmosphere point of view. So, yeah, it certainly seems like that culture of losing is back. I apologize. I'm sorry.
No, Dan, look, I mean, look, I said to Mike before he came on, I was in the room after the game, and I think the leaders of the room, namely guys like Tavares and Hamonic, know for a fact that this team is just not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have the person that they're going to blame, and they're going to have their reasons why. I'm one of the ones that feel like the team still has talent to compete. A lot of these guys have been successful before.
Yeah.
I feel it's a systems thing. But, you know, if, you know, there's an argument to be made that maybe they've tuned the coach out after 6 years to the day, actually, right?
Yes.
Today was the day they hired Capuano. So there's something to be there. And, I mean, when you lose Tavares and Hamonic, who have been, you know, essentially the heart and soul of this team for a long time now, that's bad news. And, I mean, they're probably wondering what's going wrong. The coaches are wondering what's going wrong. And somebody's got to come up with an answer. And at this point, it's really anything. But, you know, what changes are going to get made? I mean, what trade is going to happen? Right. What firing is going to happen that's going to, you know, make the team a playoff team? I don't know what it is.
All right, Dan, so you get to sit in the chair now for a second. I'll make you John Ledecky. Do you A, fire everyone, B, go to Garth and say, you ever going to make a coaching change? Or which do you put the blame on both of them? Do you put the blame on just Garth? Do you put the blame on just Jack? Where is Dan Saraceni focusing his blame this morning?
You know, if I was John Ledecky and I had, really the thing was, I don't know what Ledecky's contacts are. I don't know if he could even bring everybody in were he to fire everybody. I would get rid of everybody, to be honest with you.
I'm with you 100%.
I don't say that lightly. I think that Garth and Jack have done a good job to make it the team something. They've built the team up. And, you know, the one thing that gives me hope is that none of these players are like irrevocably, you know, damaged or ruined forever. And they have prospects in the system that could do something in the near future. But the problem, again, is if you were to say to Garth, hey, okay, let's make a coaching change. Jack's got to go. Somebody's got to, you know, let's put it on him and just to get rid of, just to do something. Who gets the job? Is it Greg Cronin? Is it Doug Waite? Is it Thompson? Like, these guys are all going to be doing the same thing that Capuano was doing, and maybe coming out of a different face changes the way the team approaches it, but I doubt it is. And then the problem is, okay, well, say you fire the entire staff and the front office. Well, then where are you going to get, you know, six people to run your hockey team? I don't know where they come from. So it's a tough spot. I mean, I wish Ledecky would make some changes, and he's at every game apparently, so he can't be, you know, blind to what's going on. But what options are there? That's the thing, and they've kind of painted themselves into this corner where they can only make some sort of superficial change until maybe the off season when they can start actually really making some significant changes, you know, for next year, but that throws away an entire season.
Yeah, I think it's coming sooner rather than later. You brought up Ledecky being at every game. Mike, he's at every game, like Rowe, too. He's
likes
at every single game.
At least he likes the game. Well, Charles was at every game, wasn't he?
Not Rowe, not on the road.
Not on the road. No, yeah, well, he was in. That's right. They had that picture in Florida the other night of him and Torrey and Butch. Great shot, Johnny.
I had to find this out later on. I thought he was only there because Torrey and Potvin were down there, but he goes to every single game, which I think is a good sign. Dan, I want to go back to Garth for a second because I know everybody wants Cappy out, and I totally get it. But here's my question, and Cappy obviously has a little bit to do with this too. Other than Tavares, none of these guys have progressed. Like, they're just one hit wonder. Like, Lee had the 25 goals and hasn't been the same player since. Strome had the 50 points, has not been the same player since. Why do young players in other organizations get better and none of these guys do?
That's a really legitimate question.
None of them.
And I don't understand. And you're right. Like, they all do have that one huge season. I mean, that 2013-14 season was such a disaster on so many levels. But the best player in it, in a lot of ways, was Anders Lee. Like, he came up kind of, you know, I think a quarter of the way through the season and turned into a pretty good player. He was the only bright spot for that entire season when, you know, Tavares was hurt and happened and all that. But then that was it. And Strome, you know, how many times have you guys said he had a 50-point season a couple of years ago, and now he doesn't?
He stinks.
That's why I kind of think it's a systems thing. I think these guys come up, they do what they feel is right, they're successful at it for the most part.
But it's the same system. So why did those guys have so much success 2 years ago, and now they're not having any?
I don't know.
It's the same system.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, are all of those guys, is it just a coincidence that three separate guys on the same team all happen to have one good year and then not?
You know,
I think
with Strome, the moving him back and forth between center and the wing has really thrown a wrench in the start of his career. And I said this to Peter Boddy on the train ride home last night, Mike. Anders Lee has not been the same player since Jack scratched him for Game 6 and 7.
That's 100% true. That's
good
a fact.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
That's a good point, too. And to go back to your Strome point, I always felt that was why Josh Bailey is kind of, you know, never progressed. I mean, to be honest, his numbers-wise aren't really as bad as a lot of people make them out to be.
Right.
But, you know, for a ninth overall, expect a lot more. And I think a lot of it has to do with him being shuffled back and forth and different lines, different positions, different roles, different everything for the first, however many, 5 or 6 years of his career. And he just never quite found a role to play and play it well. And like you said, with Lee, the same thing. Like, he got scratched. I mean, Nelson, too. You could probably make the same argument for him. He got scratched that 1 year.
Yeah.
They've all been scratched in the playoffs, actually, now that I think about it.
Right? No, they have.
So
yeah.
Maybe that's something to think. And I feel like there's, you know, this is, again, why a wholesale, like, front office and coaching change, I think, is necessary, because you're talking about voices that these guys need to be recalibrated. And they need to hear a different voice, I think, saying, okay, here's another thing you can do, and giving them roles and giving them guidance that they're just not getting right now. And I feel like, to me, well, I watch a team that's too scared to do anything. They play it safe. I wrote a thing today about how they're too scared. They don't want to make a mistake and end up getting benched or, you know, shuffled around. And I don't know. It's just a mess.
It is a mess. And you speak of shuffled around, I'll go to a couple guys who get shuffled around. I know it's been 16 games here, Dan, and there's, you know, 68 games left on the schedule. But the Ladd and Chimera signings at this point, I know it's a quarter of the way into the season, but at this point, complete bust, both of them. They've been terrible. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Chimera is funny because I was at the game yesterday again with Michael Wilhoff, who writes for us, and we were talking about Nikolai Kuhlman and how he's okay in one area of the game. Like, he's a pretty good penalty killer.
Right.
He's pretty good defensively, but he doesn't score goals. And I think they get it. They latch on to these guys for like one aspect of their game. Like, I think they were so in love with, oh, we need speed. Get Chimera. We need Chimera.
Yeah, but they
really
need speed. But he looks like he's got bricks in his skates. Dan, do you watch this guy?
Yeah, he's not bringing that speed that they thought he was. He's not being a disruptor that they thought he was going to be. And he's just not scoring goals. And it's just like, you need to score goals. I think with Ladd, same thing. Like, they thought this guy's been a captain. He's a leader. He's somebody that can play with Tavares, and they can, you know, he can kind of help lead the team a little bit. That has not happened. They've led the team to, you know, second to last place in the division, and they're, whatever, 6 points out of the playoffs right now. And yeah, okay, there's 68 games left in the season, but if you're not straight by Thanksgiving, if you're not in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving, I mean, there's numbers to show that your season is really in trouble.
Yeah.
Until you rattle up 28 wins in a row, you're out of luck. So I don't know. I don't know what they thought, and I don't know what they can do from here to fix it. That's how bad it is.
And this is why I think it's more on Garth than Jack, because this isn't a cap floor team anymore, fellas. They're up against it. I mean, you look at the contracts that were handed out July 1st. You look at Grabowski and Kuhlman, which were complete disasters. I can't even imagine what the Boychuk deal is going to look like in 2 or 3 years. Garth has a lot of explaining to do, and I just don't know where they go from here. But getting back to Ladd for a second, Dan, I said this to Mike before he came on. He's got to play with Tavares. I mean, I know that he wasn't performing with him. They had very little time to play together during the preseason. But the bottom line is he's getting $5.5 million, and you have to sink or swim with Andrew Ladd on the top line. You have to.
Yeah, that's what he was signed for, and I agree with you. He has to play there. He can't be on the fourth line. I mean, Cal Clutterbuck is a nice guy. I like him. He can't be on the first line with John Tavares. He's not. That's not his role. And you're right. Like, they've got a lot of money tied up into a lot of guys. Grabowski, I kind of give a pass to.
Nobody saw the concussions coming, right?
Yeah, and then when he's healthy, he's definitely justified it. With him, you get Kuhlman. That's unfortunate too. It's too much, but at the same time, it's not like a back-breaking thing. And then with Boychuk, again, they backed themselves into the corner. They made that great trade. They had a great season following that.
They had to
let him walk.
I know.
They had, but that's the thing. I mean, I agree with you. Like, the team is constructed now in a weird way, and I don't know. I feel like I totally get what you're saying about Garth's moves, and we can question a lot of them. To me, I feel like I want to see this team under a different coach, playing a different style before I decide that it's the roster that's the problem.
Fair enough. Dan, thanks so much for a few minutes. We really appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dan.
No problem, guys. Anytime. Take care.
Thanks, man. Dan Saraceni does a great job for Lighthouse Hockey. You can follow him on Twitter at Culture of Losing, which is back in the mix here, Mike.
Sure is.
No bueno.
What a disgrace.
And I think what compounds it, too, the Rangers just keep on rolling. It's got to be driving Islander fans crazy when they look at the stats and Michael Grabner has 10 goals.
I really, to be quite honest with you, I haven't gotten too wrapped up in it just because I've been so wrapped up in how bad the Islanders have been that I know what's going on. Listen, you know it's happening. Right. It's in town. You know it's there.
But if you're an Islander fan you're watching the Rangers, who never, ever, ever have a first-round pick, and here they are with 65 goals in 16 games atop the Metro. And the Islanders have top five pick after top five pick after top five pick. And they're going in reverse.
I think Grabner's got more goals than Ladd, Chimera, Lee, Strom combined.
Dan Girardi has more points than Lee and Ladd combined.
Well, listen, I don't.
Dan Girardi.
They score 5-6 goals a night. He's going to rack them up. So that's the way it goes.
You can check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Akazi, and Adam Rotter. We spoke with Jeff Marek from Sportsnet this week. We talked about Sam Rosen going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Congrats to Sam. To find the show, search SMY.TV Rangers on the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast. And make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the channel. Short-term fixes, I don't think there are any, Mike. Who do they have?
I don't know.
Quine? You can put Quine back in?
What's the point?
I guess Shane Prince should play. That was kind of baffling that they dressed 7D if Hamonic was healthy. Doesn't make any sense.
Here's the thing. Dan brought it up. If you're not in a playoff position by Thanksgiving, you're usually in bad shape.
Yeah.
Not everybody could do like what Ottawa did 2 years ago.
Anaheim last year.
And just completely roll in the second half and get in the playoffs. And both those teams still barely got in the playoffs, even though they just went crazy in the second half. I don't see this team being able
there
to do that.
That suggests that the Islanders are going to win another 42 games.
The train's off the tracks here.
Yeah.
They've got a few days off. I don't know what you do with it. I don't know where you can make a short-term fix. I guess you're starting Yarrow again on Friday, right? Are they just going to start Yarrow until he gets traded or gets hurt? Is that the idea right now? We're just going to keep playing him?
It's bad.
Man, you talk about something that worked. Alan Walsh, it worked, man. You did it.
Yeah, he's playing every night.
As soon as you sent that tweet out, this guy's played just about every single game. So good job, Alan. You made it happen.
I don't know what else to say.
Real quick,
because
we didn't bring it up, only because we have a quick halak thing right here. How about Saturday night down in Florida
Brutal.
With the 2-0 lead? What the hell was he doing at the end of that game?
Mike, we have seen Yaro do this upteen times in the past.
And then you start him again on Monday night? That's where, to me, I think that's coming from above Jack.
Well, no, Jack said it was because there would have been a week between starts.
And that's the reason why Jack wasn't going to play again until
Friday.
Take a walk. Take a walk. I'm done.
You know what? That's something we can talk about before we go.
Sure.
Because I have put most of the blame on Garth. And I stick by that for sure. But regardless of who has been on this roster over the course of Jack Capuano's tenure, they continue to blow leads.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's Shane Sims on defense or if it's Nick Leddy. No matter who has been on this roster, they cannot protect the lead in the third period.
Listen,
it's an epidemic.
I'm fine with letting the coach go at this point. I got no problem with it. I know I didn't want a lateral move with one of these other clowns that's currently involved in the organization. I guess you got to do something right now. I put just as much blame on Garth's plate. I don't put it all on Jack's plate.
No, you can't.
They both deserve blame. They both have been embarrassing since July 1st. Now, you want to look at the other side of the coin and say the two of them have done more than anybody has done with this organization since the early 90s.
That's fair.
That's true.
Right.
But we're at a point right now,
yeah,
and it is funny, it's 6 years to the day that we're doing
it
this,
is.
that Scott Gordon was let go and Jack Capuano was put in. I think we're getting close, folks. I think you're going to get your wish pretty soon.
They are going in reverse, and Jonathan Ledecky, it's on you to find a way to stop the bleeding. It is 12 o'clock here in New York City on Tuesday afternoon. Hopefully this podcast lasts for a day. We'll see what happens. Could be a couple hours and something happens. I don't think it's going to happen today.
You know what? I don't think it's going to happen, because as much as it should happen, it ain't going to happen.
I think it would have happened already today, so we'll see what happens tomorrow. Folks, hang in there. Thanks for listening. We love you all. See you soon.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.